that love the Lord and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord.
And us around the throne, and us around the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city of God. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God. The children of the heavenly King, the children of the heavenly King, they speak their joys abroad, they speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city of God.
Amen. Why are we here? That's exactly right. We are here to worship God. Now, I've got a couple of announcements that I want to talk about just real quickly before I get started. First announcement is this. Our teachers met on Tuesday this last week, and we decided exactly what we're going to be doing. We're going to be meeting every second and fourth Tuesday of the month here at the building. We're going to be in a classroom every second and fourth Tuesday of the month, and we're going to be studying the heroes of the Bible. And we're going to start with Abraham. That's at 6:30 on the second Tuesday of the month. The next one is on the 13th of this month. So anybody that would like to come and be a part of that, please come. It's a great, great, great study. Because you know what? Those people who are the heroes of the Bible were people. Just like you and me. And if they can do it, so can we. All right? Now also, this coming Wednesday, I want to mention this too, because this coming Wednesday, we're going to do something a little different with our worship service here. We're going to start everybody in the auditorium, and we're going to have our Devo, and we're going to give an invitation. And then after that, we're going to be dismissed to go to our classes. This was by my request, because if I go a little long, I won't be stepping on anybody's toes. We'll just go a little long, okay? So just understand that, and remember, Paul spoke to midnight, and then he raised a young man from the dead, and then he spoke to 6 a.m. So just realize that that could happen. And I was told by an elder one time, but you ain't Paul. So anyway, just remember that also. Wednesday night, we're going to start in here, and then we're going to be dismissed to our classes, and then you'll be dismissed to go home from your classes on Wednesday night, okay? All right. Sundays starting next week, and I want to mention this also. Sunday starting next week, we're starting our Connect groups next Sunday, and I hope everyone is signed up to be a part of that, to be a part of those Connect groups. But every Sunday evening at 6:00, we are going to meet here, and we're going to have a worship service here on that Sunday evening, every Sunday evening. So I'm going to be coming back, and we're going to have a worship service. We're going to sing songs. We're going to pray. We're going to do everything we're supposed to do. And then what we're going to do is we're going to have a Bible study. I love Bible studies, y'all. We're going to have a Bible study about the Sermon on the Mount. That's where we're going to be, okay? The Sermon on the Mount. So I would encourage you to go to your Connect group meetings, and then I would encourage you to come back. Come back here at 6:00 on Sunday night to be a part of that Bible study on the Sermon on the Mount. All right, that's all the announcements I've got. Okay, I want to ask this question. Are we relevant as a church? Are we relevant? You know, my favorite time of year has begun. A lot of people think, well, spring is their favorite time. Summer's their favorite time. My favorite time is football. And to be more specific, it's college football. Okay? College football. And I want you to know that yesterday I got to watch a little bit of football yesterday. I always like to watch a little bit of football, and I turn on the television, I watch some football, and I go through and I watch my favorite team. Okay. Yeah, you too. Yeah. And I'm never amazed. I'm never amazed, even though it's on television. Even though you can watch the replays, even though you can hear the commentators commentate. And some of them I like, some of them I don't. But even though you can see all the replays and you can see all that and everything, there's still 100,000 people in the bleachers. 100,000. Now, why do you think that is? I want you to understand something. How many of those 100,000 are in church today? And I'm not just talking 100,000. I'm talking about hundreds of thousands. I'm talking about even millions of people. And I want you to know that we live in the Bible Belt here. And I'm glad that we live in the Bible Belt, but I want you to know that we are not the rule. We are more the exception. There are places that have empty buildings today. Because they're not going to church. There are places in this nation that you can go to, states in this nation that do not have a single church of Christ. And we've got many. Why do they go to those football games when they can watch it on television, but they won't come to church? Now, I've got a verse that I'm going to give you here. It's in Romans 16, 16. It's one of my favorite verses. And the reason why it's one of my favorite verses is because I actually had this verse on the back of a t-shirt that I wore one time to Branson. And I was up in Silver Dollar City, and I was walking around in Silver Dollar City with that shirt on. And it was on the back. And this woman came up behind me. I'd never seen her before in my life. Don't know where she's from. Don't know her name. But she came up behind me, and she put her arm around me, and she said, "Thank you so much for wearing that shirt." Folks, the churches of Christ greet you. The churches of Christ greet you. All of the churches at the time that this were written were called churches of Christ. They were called churches of the firstborn. They were called by many different names, but all of them were tied to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The first churches that were called Christians were the church at Antioch. Antioch. They called themselves Christians. Why did they call themselves Christians? Because this is what that means. It means to be Christ-like. Christ-like. Now, you'll hear me say that multiple times. But it means that what we are to be is like Jesus Christ. Not in just certain times, but in all times, we are to act as Christ acted. We are to be as Christ was in all things. Now, I want you to know, when COVID hit, I was a high school principal, and you talk about a mess. Those of you who are in education, y'all know. It was a mess trying to figure out what to do, when to do it. It seemed like every other day we were getting new mandates coming down from the State Department. It seemed like every other day we were getting new directions from the CDC as to what we had to do and the things we had to do. And of course, I was over in Arkansas, and what happened over there was that even the Athletic Association, the AAA, Arkansas Activities Association, got involved and said, okay, you can do this, but you can't do this, and you have to do this, and you have to do this. And we were taking temperatures, and we were trying to keep school open. And then finally they said, the first year, they said after spring break, they said, just don't come back. And then we had the problem of graduation. We had the problem with people saying, well, I want to go to prom. Yeah, that was a mess. All these different things were taking place. And I had very little control over it. And one of the worst things that happened was that they shut down our churches. Now, I'm not saying that they were wrong, because honestly, it was new. Very few people, including the CDC, had no idea as to what they were dealing with. And so they were doing the best they can with the knowledge that they could in order to take care of this situation. I understand that. So I have no animosity towards anything that they did. Well, a real good thing came out of that. And that was our live streaming that we started doing. And at Mount Ida Church of Christ, on a good Sunday, we'd have about 35 people. But we always had more than that that watched. And there were times when we had over 140 people watch what was going on. That was a great thing, because there were people in multiple states that were watching. We even had an individual from Kenya, Africa, that was watching, who was a preacher over there. And what he was doing, I know exactly what he was doing, he was watching our services to get ideas for preaching for his next service. And that was great, and that was wonderful, because I can do that too, and I have done that. Okay? There's nothing wrong with that. And it was wonderful to see that people from even other countries were watching what was going on, and it was a great, great, great outreach for our people. But I want you to understand something. Something happened that I knew was going to happen. And I said it openly and loudly, that people are going to get used to watching, and they're going to quit coming. How many people do you know right here in this congregation? Now, I'm new here, so I don't know everybody. But how many people do you know right from this congregation that when COVID hit, they have never been back? From what I understand, there are large numbers. This is concerning, because the idea is that they can stay home and watch television and get out of it everything they need for their spiritualness. Okay? There were 100,000 people in the bleachers, even though they could stay at home and watch it. You get the same thing from watching it on television as you do if you were there. Now, I want you to know I love baseball. Absolutely love it. Can't hardly stand to watch it on TV. I really can't. Unless it's a really close game, I turn it off. But I love being in the bleachers. I love paying $10 for a hot dog. I love the crowd. I love hearing the cheering. I love being a part of it. I wear my Kansas City Royals hat. Oh, got a couple of fans. That's about all there are. Yeah. I don't mind going to a ball game, finding the crowds, finding parking places. I don't mind doing that because I enjoy being around those others who enjoy the same things that I enjoy. So my question for you today is this. Is it necessary for you to come to worship?
Yes.
Okay, y'all already know, so we'll go from there. Is it necessary for you to be here? And realize something right there. What I said up there is worship. Are we relevant? Is it necessary to be here to worship God? And I love the fact, and I learned this very early on when I got here, I love the fact that y'all don't call this come to church. You come to worship.
Amen.
And I love that. That you call it come to worship. When people ask me out in the community, where do you go to church? And they say, I go to worship. I go to worship. So I want you to understand this. Is it necessary for us to come to worship when we can watch it on television? Well, 100,000 people up in the bleachers think it was necessary to be at the ball game. Is it necessary? Let me tell you this. The question that I started out is, are we relevant? Well, I want to give you a definition of what relevance is. This is an important definition. Don't forget it. Relevance is this. Following what God commanded you.
Amen.
What is relevant in this world is what God thinks is relevant in this world. Not us. It's not about you. God sent His Son. That was about you. But understand this. When we come together, we come together to worship. Who are we worshiping?
God
the Father. It is relevant for us to come together to worship God the Father. It is relevant for us to be here together. To call upon His name. To sing songs of praise. We're marching to Zion. Who is marching to Zion?
We are.
All of us together are marching on to Zion. It is relevant. Why is it relevant? Because God thinks it's relevant. We are to do whatever God has commanded us to do. And if you notice this also, in New Testament times, were the local churches necessary? Yes, they were. Start with Acts chapter 2. Read the whole book of Acts. Read the book of Romans. Because the book of Romans was written to multiple churches that were there in Rome. The churches were necessary. Why? Because they were the ones that taught the word of God to all the people, that they may be added to the church daily. They went out. They set the example. These were the churches. Thousands were added. Why? Because they worked together for one purpose, to serve God. Tim asked this question this morning. What is our purpose on this earth? Our purpose is to worship God. Our purpose is to serve God. Our purpose is to do the will of God. That is our purpose. And if you think there's a different purpose, you're thinking wrong. God is our purpose for being here. Here on this earth and here in this congregation. God is our purpose. Now, if you don't go to a football game, you miss out on the cheering, you miss out on the band playing, you miss out on the crowd calling. Yeah. You miss out on all these things. And you're not part of that. You don't get to wear your caps and your shirts. And you don't get those big hot dogs. We miss out. Well, folks, I want you to know something. When you're not here, you miss out.
Amen.
Because we miss out, first of all, on the fellowship that we have together. Those of you who have been gone lately and have just now come back. Those of you who have been sick and have come back and are now with us. And you realize how much you miss when you're not here. There are times that I'm not here, that I can't be here for one reason or another. And you know what I miss? Every one of you. I miss it. I miss being with you. And yes, I could watch it on television, but you know what? It's not the same. It's different. And so understand, the first thing I want you to realize is this, that we miss out on our fellowship together. Coming together as one body, one spirit, one mind in the service of the Lord. We miss out on fellowship. Secondly, look at this one. We miss out on encouraging one another. I've told you this before, but when you walk in that door, you encourage me. I've been told, again, I'm new, so I don't know everything, but I've been told that our numbers are going back up. And good.
Amen.
You know what that does? That encourages the fire out of me. That makes me want to be here even that much more. If numbers had started dropping off when I walked in the door, I'd be going, okay, maybe I need to go somewhere else. But you encourage me. And don't think for one second that I don't take roll. Remember, I'm an old school teacher and an old principal. I know where you sit. And when you sit in a different spot, you throw me way off. But I know where you sit, and I know that you're going to be right there. And so guess what I do? I look for you right there. Don't think I don't, because I do look for you right there. And I count you absent if you're not here. And I count you present when you are. You encourage me. I hope I encourage you. But I also hope that you encourage one another. Because in today's world, we need all the encouragement we can get. We don't need to talk about things that divide, but rather we need to talk about things that unite. And what's the one thing that unites us the most? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Encourage one another. Also, this as well that we miss out on. We miss out on breaking bread with one another. Yes, you can be at home, and yes, you can take communion. Yes, I know that. I know that. And yes, you can do it just exactly right. But you know what? It is better when all of us are together, remembering that great sacrifice that Jesus gave for us. That's why in the book of Acts, it says that they came together on the first day of the week for that main purpose, to remember Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Folks, do you forget during the week sometimes about Jesus Christ? All of us do. But I also want you to realize that by coming together, that helps us through the week. Why did they come together on the first day of the week? Well, it was because Jesus rose on the first day of the week. But what was their main purpose? Yes, they heard a sermon. Yes, they sang songs. But the main purpose was to remember what Jesus has done for us. Do we remember? Coming together helps us to remember these things. And also look at this in Luke chapter 4, verse 8. We come to worship. We shall worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. Folks, there are churches out there today that people go to in order to be entertained. They have great entertainment. They have a band. They have a choir. They have all these things, and they have this speaker that basically tells them, I'm all right, you're all right, everybody's all right, go home and expect a great blessed day. That gives them no meat of the word whatsoever. Paul sometimes told them things that were hard to hear. Jesus sometimes told them things that were hard to hear. There will be times when I will tell you some things that are hard to hear, and when I do, just put on your steel-toed shoes and keep going. But I want you to understand this. We come together not for ourselves, not for our entertainment, but we come together rather to worship God. This is for God that we come together. And folks, with everything else that I've said today, everything else that I've even mentioned today, this one point right here should be one of the leading points, if not the leading point, that you are here today. I am here today because God wants me to worship Him. And I do it with others, with the same mindset, that we come together to worship God. Now I'm going to leave you with this one verse from Hebrews 10:25. All of us have seen it before. All of us have heard it before. But this is one of the important verses. It said, not abandoning or not forsaking our own meeting or assembling together, as is the manner of some. Some do it. They forsake it. They don't come. But encouraging one another. And notice that last line, all the more as you see the day approaching or the dawning or drawing near. What day is that? The return of God, the return of Jesus Christ. That is the day coming. Do we see it drawing closer? So therefore, what I'm telling you is this, that every day is one day closer to Jesus returning. Every day is one day closer to the time that I will stand before Christ in judgment. Every day is one day closer to the time that I will hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Folks, don't forsake coming together. Because by forsaking coming together, what you have done is you have opened the door for Satan to come in. Now, I'm not denouncing what we are doing as far as our live streaming and things like that. I'm not denouncing that at all, because there are people who are homesick who cannot be here. There are people that are traveling. There are people that, for one reason or another, cannot be here today. I understand that totally. But folks, if you can be here today, you need to be here today. There are people in this audience right now, today, that I know physically struggle to get here. But you know what? They're here. Why are they here? Because coming together is relevant. Because worshiping God is what God desires. And so therefore they are here simply because of that. How many of you would miss a day of work because you didn't just feel like it? But there are people that'll miss worship service because they just didn't feel like it. Now I want you to know that most of you here in this audience probably didn't need to hear this sermon because you're here. But one of the things that we need to do is we need to encourage one another. Encourage each other to be here. If you have someone that you know has not been here, pick up the phone and call them. If you have someone that you know who has not been here, go visit them. If they need a ride, go get them. Because no matter what inconvenience that might be out there, it is not worth missing 1 minute of a worship service. As always, I want to give anybody the opportunity to come. If you need our prayers or if you need baptism. But I also want you to know this. God wants you here. Come and be with us. Come while together we stand and sing.